All right, God bless. I wanted to briefly touch on this very broad subject of praise. I think many people, when they think of praise, they think they have to do it in a specific manner. But I wanted to read this little short story here called True Worship and Personal Testimony. And this anonymous individual basically wants to convey the fact that true praise is not about you. I often perform a self-examination to make sure I'm practicing what I preach. As I grow more with Christ, I can identify things that try to pull me away from Him. This can vary from media, people, certain thoughts, etc. In order to stay in a posture of true worship, I have learned to immediately focus my attention and desire to Christ and lay down my own thinking. This is an everyday and sometimes every moment decision to not be led by feelings but align my thoughts with the Lord. I'll be the first to say that this takes maturing in the Spirit, as my thought process wasn't always this way. If something did not go my way, I would pray manipulative prayers like, "Lord, make them change to do this," or "I'll do it if blank," or "show me a sign." These types of prayers were rooted in self-righteousness, which has no place in the kingdom of God. Once I surrendered my way of thinking to the Lord, I gained His perspective and truly worshiped Him in all that I did. Today, perform an introspection and make the decision to worship God in your thoughts, actions, and decisions. Crucifying the flesh may be initially painful, but will produce harvest of righteousness and peace. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's John 4, 23 and 24. Well, guys, I want to say that this individual is quite correct, because praise in and of itself is something that is completely new whenever it is done. And sure, you can sing a song of praise twice, but I can almost guarantee that every time you sing that song, it's going to mean something different depending on how you want to praise the Father in that moment. What about speaking in tongues? I mean, one of the greatest miracles of all time, right? Because speaking in tongues is such a unique thing. It's a language that you know, but you never learn, but yet it's speaking to God in a language that He completely understands and is saying things from our hearts that otherwise cannot be formulated into words. It is perfect praise. And that just melts the heart of the Father. Amen? But Jesus said to receive power, you will perfectly. And notice how, like, when each person manifests, it's going to be different each time. Just like singing the same song twice, it's going to be new and it's going to be fresh each time you sing it. But I know I'm specifically talking about speaking in tongues, but on your own. But you get the picture. And here, I have a list here of seven things that praise does. And there's a lot more to it than this, but number one, praise lifts your spirit. Praise helps you sense God's presence. Praise enlarges your perception of God. Praise reveals solutions that we cannot see. Praise helps us remember God's blessings. Praise enlists God's protection. And then praise breaks chains and opens doors. But I thought it would be appropriate to read Psalm 150 before we hear the band this morning. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And here's the last verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God bless.
Thank you. Wow. Don't you feel closer to God through all that? And that's what our lives are all about, because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to have this incredible relationship with him, that we never have to have fear, that we stand boldly and confidently in who we are. And who are we but in Jesus? We stand in his place today. The works that he did, we shall do, and greater works, because we can lead people to the new birth. So, isn't that wonderful? My verses are in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. They're quick ones, easy to memorize. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
That's great.
That kind of summarizes what we just went through, right? That we rejoice, that we praise, and joy. We don't just have joy, but we rejoice over and over again. There's something unique what happens to a man or woman when they get born again. They go from a natural birth to a supernatural life. And we need to remind ourselves that we do live a supernatural life, that it's not about us anymore. It's about the Christ that lives in us. And that we can have a difference in this world, that our prayers are heard. He guarantees that he answers all of our prayers. And the ability to pray in a community, in a church, is tremendous. In December 31st, 2017, we did a New Year's Eve prayer fellowship over the telephone. And we had people calling in with different prayer requests, and I thought at that time, maybe we should write those down. And they became our prayer lists, and we became a prayer team. And any of you that would love to be a part of it, we have about 40 believers from all over the country that are praying for the needs of anyone. We don't have to know who they are. We just have to know that they have a need and that they need us to make intercession for them. So I welcome you to join us in that. But in our lives, we perform the miraculous because God is working in us. We don't have to figure out our behavior or whatever, but our behavior is praising God. Prayer is an awesome adventure in believing and fellowship with the Father. Prayer is a switch to God's heart and a means for him to respond to us. It's the bridge that gaps the natural man from the spiritual. And our lives are miraculous. Think about each one of us, how we got born again. It was a miraculous thing. There just happened to be someone that came in our path. The man that came in my path no longer lives today, and I may be the only person that he ever witnessed to. But I'll see him again. And the people that I have witnessed to will be a part of his legacy as well. So you never know who we're going to minister to, but it's our responsibility and joy to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, the ESV version, "Again I say to you, if two of you agree harmonize together on earth about anything they ask, it will be done of my Father in heaven. This is the basis of prayer partners. If two of you agree, we need to harmonize. And part of being in the body of Christ, being a family, we harmonize. We become like-minded. We don't look at the faults and failures of one another. Jesus had plenty of disciples who had faults and failures. And yet, did he look at that? He just kept building them up and giving them more responsibility. And if you feel like you don't have enough to do, ask God, what am I to do? Because he has so much for us to do. And success. If I love reading books, and sometimes they get so complicated, I just go to the back. I want to hear the end of the story. Well, we know the end of the story. Jesus Christ coming back. We're going to live for all eternity. There's going to be a time of reckoning. And all sadness will be gone. And perfect utopia with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know this end. So reach out and keep building up your part of the body of Christ. Acts 1:14, it said, was the first corporate prayer. It says, and these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then in Acts 2, it says, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and of prayer. And 3,000 were born again that day. You know, look at what power we have if we stand together. Acts 12:5, it says, Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And what happened? God sent an angel, opened up the prison door, he walked right out and went to the believer's home and knocked on the door, and I don't know which woman believer came out, and he says, it's Peter, and she couldn't remember, couldn't believe it. Well, that's part of prayer, is we must believe. We believe that we're going to see the results, right? And Peter was able to fellowship with them. What encouragement when we see such successes. That's why part of the prayer ministry is we see the praise. We see the need and we hear the praise. And God gets the glory. But all of us have that important role to play in. Ephesians 6:18, after you put on the whole armor of God, it says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance in every request for all saints, and for me that deliverance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That we pray at all times. In that speaking in tongues, I love that song. It could, those are the words for what prayer is all about. Speaking in tongues is your perfect prayer. Praying in the Spirit. Because our minds don't know every need. I don't know what Joe's need is. He might just need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know. But, you know, each of us have something special that we need. And then we need to think about each other and pray for one another. And God knows what they need. We just speak in tongues. So prayer is the action of the putting on the whole armor. Who do we pray for? Well, 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2 are tremendous. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. What about my neighbor? I can't pray for him. No, all men, right? Every person. Maybe they're not of the same political party you are. Well, political parties have nothing to do with heaven. All men. And the NLT says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. We need to give thanks for all people because there's a purpose for all of us in our lives. We are in a spiritual battle, not in the flesh and blood. Remember that, because sometimes we get frustrated and we think, why don't I see a change? Well, we just keep going to the Father. And sometimes people might make you angry. Well, it's your responsibility to control your thoughts. And they're not making you angry. The devil is, so stomp on his feet, you know? Fight the good fight. Verse 2 says, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For all men and for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. That's our responsibility, and that's our privilege of how we are to pray, because God urges us to pray that way. We want to pray for our own lives, our fellowship with the Father, your personal relationships, your spouse, your family, your relatives, friendships, friends, those you work with. Everyone around you deserves your prayer, because you can make a difference in their lives just by you taking the time to pray for them. I work part-time for our son, Tim, in Fremont, and he has a seismic engineering firm, and I'm his controller, so I can oversee the finances. And my job description, they asked me to write it up, and I said my first job is to pray for the company. And I was very bold and very excited about that, because that's where I can make the biggest difference. Who else do we pray for? We pray for the sick. In James 5, it says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We pray for those that are sick. So how many of you are fervent men and women? We all are. So when we join together, look at the power. You get a fire going. Well, we need a fire going under each one of us to see, to claim what's ours. We pray for the sick and those that need physical and spiritual, mental healing. We pray for God's people, the body of Christ. So many times we kind of judge each other. Well, they don't exactly believe what I believe. It doesn't matter. They've got God and Christ in them. So we stand together in love. There's nothing we can't do without love. Love is the balm. We pray for our neighborhoods, our communities. That's where we live. We want those to be safe. We want there to be peace. We pray for schools, for all of our youth. Our youth are struggling today, especially those that have graduated from high school and going to college, trying to find out where they fit in. A wonderful thing happened at the end of this week was in Oklahoma, that they passed a bill that the Ten Commandments and the Bible was to be in every school in Oklahoma, and that they were to use that as curriculum to understand the history, our history. What is our history but Christianity? Amen. And you know what took that? Lots of believing together, prayers together. And that's what we can do for our country. That's what our country needs, is for us to stand together. And then we pray for the appointment of godly Supreme Court justices, government officials, our military, our medical, for the local leaders. That's what our responsibility is. So God has given us every enablement to do this and the strength to do it, because it's God and Christ in us. So I think right now I want to ask a few people I've already asked to pray, and let's join our hearts together with them. So, Ray, would you pray for the sick? Just a second. We're gonna get you a microphone.
Most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, which is truth, and that your word promises health and prosperity, even as our souls prosper. So I lift the sick and the infirm up to you. I thank you for their physical, mental, and spiritual health and deliverance, Lord. I just thank you for calming the minds from the anxiety of this world, the tribulation of this world, and that the believers can be at peace, and that their bodies can heal as well, Lord. Just thank you that no sickness, nor disease, nor spirit of infirmity, Lord, or any harassing spirit bother any believer in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're completely delivered by the shed body and broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. So I thank you, Father, for perfect health for every believer, and that we stand on the promises of your word and see all those things come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Tom, will you pray for God's people, the body of Christ?
Oh, Heavenly Father, sir, thankful this morning for what we're doing here. Pray for your people to praise you. We're so thankful that there is a big family. And I pray for every individual around the nations of the world today, and for their courage to stand on your word, and for their courage to continue to hold forth their word in their neighborhoods, to their friends, to their neighbors, relatives. And also pray, God, for the day when all of God's people today, that are alive today, that I'll meet in the future, and that we're all going to meet in the future. We're going to stand together, holding hands, praising you, and loving you as one body of Christ. So I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Gail, would you pray for our communities?
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we pray for our neighborhoods, and we pray, Father God, that we become neighborly, that we are neighborly so that our neighbors can see Christ in us. We pray for our local communities and that we all come together as one, and for our friendships that you have so graciously given us, that the people that love us and that we love. And we pray for kindness and compassion, and so that others can see Christ in us and Christ can be revealed through us. Amen.
Amen. And Shelley, will you pray for our schools?
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, give praise to you, God, first and foremost, for all that you have done, all that you are continuing to do, and all that you are promising to do in the future, Father. You know it all, God. You know everything. And right now, I'd like to pray for the youth in our world and the schools that those young people attend. Father, I ask for your hand of protection over the lives of the children of the world. No matter where they are, God, I ask that you place your hand, hold them in your hands, and place your strong protection around them. Father, I pray for the families that they represent, and God, that the light of Christ can reach those families. If they don't know Christ yet, Father, I pray that somebody will speak the word to them today, and that they can get to know you, God, that the light of Christ can get into their hearts. I pray for the children that look to the adults of the world and that are looking for something true, that the truth of Christ can be presented to them, and so that they believe it, and so that they can see that, Father, you have the answers and that your way really is the best way. And I know, Father, that there are lots of things at play today at school. There are lots of policies. There's lots of doctrines of men that all it just seems to confuse people. But Father, your word is easy to be entreated, and your word is bigger than all of that, because you're stronger, Father, than all the deception that's going on in the world. So Father, as we pray to you and as we ask for your hand of protection around the youth out there, that it's It's because that we know that you know everything, and your way is the best way, and you are the best protector of our families and of our children. And God, that one day, if the Lord should tarry, they'll be the people leading. They'll be the people that are not only leading our nation, but leading the world. And we just pray, Father, that that can be, we can be looking to you, and that the future can be set upon you, Father. That you just illuminate us and shine the light, God, so that we can shine the light to others. So I pray for that. I pray for our schools and our teachers and the administrators and everybody, Father, that has an impact on the lives of your children and on the youth out there in the world. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And Bob, would you pray for those that are in authority?
You, those who are in authority in the government, I'm thankful that we have a country that recognizes you, that we can have our freedoms, and that we can elect officials that recognize that truth. But I pray for those in authority, from the local council members, mayor, county officials, state legislature, governor, in Washington, D.C., with the legislature there, Congress, and the House of Representatives and Senate. Pray for the Supreme Court, that they can continue to do their job with the love of God in their hearts. And then our president. I pray for our president, that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. I lift our military and all those that are in harm's way, that you protect them. Father, thank you that we can pray for these people and know that you are working to protect us in our country and our way of life here in this country. And I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Well, I think that's
what it.
I was there.
Yeah. Whoa. Thank you.